Let me say, it's not 12 noon, so I'm in proper order when I say good morning to everyone. So I'll say good morning and happy Sabbath to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord and to see each and every one of you. A number of you have mentioned that you've been out because of illness or what have you, and we are glad that you are here today, and we praise God for you, and we praise God for this day. You know, I don't know about you, but I want to go home. This world is truly not our home. Joan was talking just a moment ago, and she was sharing how, I think it was your daughter, her daughter had 6 feet of snow, and that's where I am in height. And We're here and we're acclimated, but we had plans to go to Buffalo on tomorrow, and I think it was Monday we started hearing about the weather report, and it's like, well, I don't think Buffalo is a good place to go right about now. But we're just grateful to be here, and yeah, we want to keep those individuals who are in Buffalo and other areas as well. Think about those individuals in Ukraine and how they are suffering, and now they're coming into their winter. I woke up this morning, the house was pretty warm. The house was pretty warm, but those individuals in Ukraine, they're waking up to some very frigid and cold temperatures. And so I'm saying all that to say I want to go home. But we can only go home when Jesus comes back. Amen. Let's get right into the word. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning that you've allowed each and every one of us to come into this house that has been set aside and dedicated to prayer and to worship. And Father, we've prayed. We've sung hymns of thanksgiving and praise unto you. We've even worshiped in our giving. And now, Father, as we come now to this moment to where we open up the Word of God, we ask and pray for the indwelling and the empowerment of your Holy Spirit. May he be felt and experienced in every heart here today. And when we will have left this place, may we all say it was good for us to be in the house of the Lord. We ask these mercies in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Sister Martha, I want to thank you so much for our scripture reading. Acts chapter 1 and verse number, beginning with verse number 9. And I'll read again. Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse number 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. And so our topic for today is this same Jesus. The second coming of Jesus is perhaps one of the most talked about, if not the most talked about topics within modern day Christendom. There are those who have gone as far as to predict the year, month, day, and time of Christ's second coming. These individuals create for some a level of excitement, expectations, fear, and anxiety. Some will ask, who is this Christ that is to come? Why has no one told me about him, and how do I need to prepare for his coming? For some, the second coming of Jesus will be a dark day. And for those who love his appearing, it will be a day of joy. However, we must remember the words of Jesus when he said, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Jesus himself foretold of his return in Luke when he said, "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." This great promise was confirmed by the angels who said to the disciples as they stood gazing into the heavens, this same Jesus would appear a second time. The Apostle Paul says this, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, and with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." In Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 7, John says, "John, who was banished to the Isle of Patmos, said, Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierce him, and every kindred of the earth shall wail because of him." Scripture clearly declares the return of Jesus. To the believer who believes and who have been faithful, he will come. To the worshiper, to those who worship God in season and out of season, and who has trusted him, he will come. When reading Acts chapter 1 and verse number 11, it does pose a question that some may have as it relates to Jesus. Primarily, why would the angel say this same Jesus? Is it possible for someone may go around to masquerading as Jesus? Jesus, in fact, told his disciples when they inquired as to the signs of his coming and of the end of the world, he warned them, saying, "Take heed that no man deceives you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many." How is this possible? The disciples must have forgotten the things that they witnessed during his ministry here on earth. Surely they would have known his voice, but the angel said, "This same Jesus," meaning the second coming of Jesus is closely connected to his resurrection and his ascension to heaven. Had God not raised Jesus from the dead, there would be no resurrection and thereby no ascension. Yet the angel said, "This same Jesus," this same Jesus who was present and active during creation week, began to speak about the history of the world and humanity with the account in the beginning God. The world did not just suddenly appear out of nowhere as some would have you and I to believe. The world didn't come into existence by way of the Big Bang, nor did it come by way of evolution or by monkeys. The Bible says that you and I are fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, called this world into existence. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. The world did not come by way of an act of Congress. It did not come by way of an executive order, nor did it come by way of a decree. But it came by the word of the Lord. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. When we read the accounts of creation, we see how God set the world up for its inhabitants, both human and animals, before they were made. Everything was in place and declared by God as good. After he called the world into existence, and after the animals were created, he formed Adam from the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Once God saw everything that he had made, he said it was very good. This same Jesus, Christ the incarnate, John chapter 1 and verse number 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Christ, who being conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, was fully God and fully man, all at the same time. God the Son, the active agent during creation, became incarnate in Jesus Christ. It is through Christ that we have salvation and that it is accomplished through him. The character of God is revealed and the world is judged. This same Jesus, the crucified Savior, God's only begotten Son, was led from judgment hall to judgment hall, accused of many things, only to hear Pilate say, "I find no fault in this man." Long before the crucifixion, it had been foretold of the treatment that he would receive. Psalms 26 and verse 16 says, "For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lot upon my vesture." This same Jesus, beaten, mocked, spat on for your sins and for my sins. They placed a crown of thorns on his head and stripped him of his garments. They nailed him to the cross of Calvary. Jesus endured the pain, shame, and humiliation for the fallen human race in order that the sin debt might be paid. Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He has washed it white as snow. This same Jesus, the risen Savior, Satan must have felt that he finally had Jesus where he always wanted him, in the grave. The problem is that he forgotten the words of Jesus when he told his disciples he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised on the third day. The disciples did not understand the meaning of Jesus' words when he said the Son of Man is to be delivered into the hands of them, and they shall kill him, and after he is killed, shall rise the third day. It is interesting that Satan forgot the words of Jesus regarding his death and his resurrection. It's interesting that the disciples did not understand. But I'm so glad that you and I, we serve a risen Savior. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 2, "And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled the stone from the sepulcher." Not only did he roll the stone away, but he sat on it. In the book, Desire of Ages, page 779, the writer penned these words. She says that the angel was clothed with the panoply of God. In other words, the angel had on a full suit of armor, a ceremonial attire, something forming a protective cover, a magnificent and impressive array. This angel left the heavenly courts, and the beams and the bright beams of God's glory went before him and illuminated his pathway. This angel's countenance was like lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. No human or demonic power could withhold or withstand this angel from fulfilling his mission. His mission was to roll away the stone. When the angel encountered the Roman soldiers, the Bible says they shook and became as dead men. Imagine the fear and horror of Mary and Mary, the mother of Jesus, when they came to anoint the body of Jesus, only to find the soldiers laid out as dead men. The stone rolled away and an angel sitting on it before an empty tomb. The angel tells the anxious group, "I know that you seek Jesus, Jesus who was crucified. I know that you seek Jesus who healed the sick. I know that you seek Jesus who gave sight to the blind. I know that you seek Jesus who caused the dumb to talk and the deaf to hear. I know that you seek Jesus who fed the 5,000 by blessing two fish and five barley loaves. I know that you seek Jesus, the crucified, risen Savior. Fear not, for he is not here. He is risen. He's risen." Mary and those who accompanied her were invited to come and to see the empty tomb. Jesus is no longer bound by the chains of death, but he rose from the grave on the third day morning with all power given unto him. Healing power, sustaining power, forgiving power, overcoming power, saving power. Because God raised Jesus from the dead, Jesus' resurrection now provides the foundation for our hope. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to his abundant mercy, have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." This same Jesus, the coming King, when Jesus first came to earth, he came as a babe. He came that you and I might have life and have it more abundantly. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save us from our sins. Jesus' second coming, he's not coming as a baby, but he's coming as conquering King with great power and glory. And his kingdom will reign forever. Revelation chapter 11 and verse number 15 says, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and shall reign forever and ever." This same Jesus who was present and active during creation week. This same Jesus who clothes his divinity with humanity. This same Jesus who was crucified for your sins and my sins and rose on the third day morning. This same Jesus who has promised to come back again, and he will come back again as a conquering king. This same Jesus, which is taken up into heaven, shall come again in like manner, as you have seen him go into heaven. This same Jesus will come back again. Jesus' second coming will be literal and personal. He's not going to send a representative. He's not going to send an ambassador, but he's coming back. Jesus, at his second coming, not only will it be literal and personal, but it will be visible. For the Bible says, behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye shall see him. At Jesus' second coming, it will be audible. For the Bible says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, and with the shout of the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. This same Jesus, at his second coming, it is certain. It is certain. Jesus says, watch therefore, for you know not the hour of your Lord's coming. And if we go to Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to look at verse number 43, it says this, and it's talking about the certainty of Jesus' coming. Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 43, it says, but know this, let me start with verse 42. Watch therefore, for you know not the hour your Lord doeth come. But know this, that it is good that man, but know this, that if the good man of the house had known in which watch the thief would come, he would watch and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, verse 44, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour ye think not that the Son of Man doeth appear. Jesus declared in John chapter 14, beginning with verse number 1, that he is coming back. Jesus promised to come back. The angels declared as he was taking up that this same Jesus is coming back. The question is not whether or not Jesus is coming back. The question is whether or not when Jesus is coming back, because the word says that we know not the day nor the hour when the Lord appeared. But the question is, for me, am I ready for Jesus to come? The songwriter penned the words this way. The theme of the Bible is Jesus and how he died to save man. The plan of salvation assures us that he's coming again. Are you ready for Jesus to come? Are you faithful in all that you do? Have you fought a good fight? Have you stood for the right? Have others seen Jesus in you? Are you ready to stand in your place? Are you ready to look in his face? Can you look up and say, this is my Lord? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for Jesus to come? Jesus' second coming is the blessed hope of the church. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 13 says, we're looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is coming. It may not be tomorrow. It may not be next week. It may not be next year. It very well may not be in our lifetime. But as I told Donna this week, I believe with all my heart He's coming again. Now is the time that we can make our calling and election sure. For he that shall come, he will come, and he will not tarry. Our Father and our God, we are indeed thankful and grateful for the privilege to be in your house today. We thank you for your word, but we thank you for your promise that you said that you would come back. And we're so grateful that not only you made the promise, but you are the great promise keeper. And so because of that, Father, we have hope for tomorrow, hope that a better day is coming, where there be no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death, no more crying. Why? Because the former things have passed away. And Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that this better day, when it comes, it will be a reality in all our lives, not because of anything we've said, not because of anything we've done, but by the merits of Jesus Christ and what he did for us. May it be a reality in all our lives. So, Father, we pray that you'd bless your people and keep them and cause your face to shine upon them and grant them your peace, peace in their hearts, peace in their minds, peace in their homes, and when they rise to the dawn of a brand new day, grant them your peace. O Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.